This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hot Chocolate for the Soul, a show where everyone is welcome. We want to create a cozy and content place to talk about it. Well-being, self-improvement, relationships, self-awareness, and always embracing our inner child. Un espacio seguro y abierto, conversar de bienestar, calidad de vida, crecimiento personal, relaciones de pareja e iniciativas destacables en Nueva Zelanda. Very welcome everyone to the Hot Chocolate for the Soul. We are here with you in a new program, an amazing, amazing guest, of course, as always, his Aitor. So he was with us before. He's a telecommunication engineer, actively looking for a job at this very moment from Spain, Bilbao. So he can speak Spanish and English perfectly. So he will be with us, which is our subject is yoga. That's the subject today, yoga. So quite big, quite extreme subject to talk about it, but we will be fine. We will be okay with that. We're just gonna narrow down a little bit what does that mean. So start talking about yoga. So it's a practice who lead to the union of the individual consciousness with the universal consciousness. Help to the good balance and harmony between mind and body. So until then, everyone is related with, and we all kind of have a familiar idea. Hello, Aitor, how are you?
Hi, Paula, I'm very good, thank you.
That's great. So Aitor, I didn't mention it, that also he is a yoga teacher, so he learned how to teach yoga, but he's been also practicing yoga for a long time, which is beautiful and it's very nice because he could see in his body how it's been all changed and developed in different ways. So the question in here is, essentially, yoga is taken as a spiritual discipline. Tell us about that, Aitor, please.
Well, I guess we need to maybe just make a clear distinction about what people think of yoga, what yoga really is, because in the West, yoga is always originally the way yoga caught on with Western audiences is just because of the physical component of yoga as such. Because yoga is still people think it's just a physical practice when it's much more than that. And as you mentioned, the spiritual component of yoga is strong. It's actually the ultimate reason that yoga really thrived back in, it's thought to be maybe up to 3,000-5,000 years old. It's about
3,000 years old. Wow!
Nobody really knows exactly. I mean, there. I don't think there's any written record of what mentions yoga for the first time exactly. I don't know that. I mean, if there is some, I haven't done enough research, so it's always so much to learn. It's a very, very ancient philosophy, because that's what I guess the best way to describe yoga is as a philosophy. And it's got, of course, a physical component, which is the one that is mostly only the West, but it's a very strong spiritual component. And it's that spiritual component, the one that many people don't understand or don't want to get into, because basically spirituality, even though it's having a revival now in the modern age, it has been put aside for a long time in the West.
Yes.
So it's now making its comeback, or at least it's been emphasized more and more, the role of yoga in nurturing your spiritual being. And we can delve a bit more into what yoga tells us. And I mean, I know I am not a big expert, so some people may pinpoint and may pick holes in my statements. So I apologize to any big yoga
But it's your personal, but it's your personal knowledge about it, and so that's okay. Yeah. It's okay. It's fine because it's coming from your personal knowledge. It's coming from your personal opinion, so that's fine. I think with about yoga is all what we know is a more general understanding about it. What we're talking about also is the breathing. So the breathing exercise you can get, or the breathing understanding you can get from yoga, is very, very important. And so many people, when you talk about it, why do you do yoga, is sometimes because they don't really know how to breathe well and how well they feel in by just practicing yoga. Is it, that's all right as well. This is like some special breathing you can understand when you start practice yoga more and more often. Has it happened to you as well?
Yeah, 100%. I definitely, for one thing that is really, I've become more aware and more in tune with after practicing yoga for a number of years, because I actually have to say, it's interesting enough, you were the one who actually got me into yoga. I think it was back in 2009, I think.
Exactly.
You took me to a Ashtanga class, because I had tried yoga before in 2001, 2002, when I was living in Spain.
Yes.
And I actually didn't like it. I really found it very, and I didn't connect. I mean, of course, it's, as many people say, it's not only about the object or the thing. It's also about the timing. And the timing probably wasn't right at the time. When I first got into contact with yoga, I didn't enjoy it. So I didn't do it again until one day just suggested going along with you to a yoga class that you were very, very into, like Ashtanga, one of the many. We can talk about the styles later, but the Ashtanga is one of the yoga styles, physical yoga styles. And that's basically the one that got me into yoga. That was 2009. So that's 12 years ago. So yeah, for the 12 years I've been practicing yoga, I've definitely been getting more and more interested in everything that is underpinning the physical practice, because of course the physical practice is always there for you to learn, but it's, I was also very curious, as I am. Naturally curious about that. What was the origin? What was behind the physical practice? And yeah, as you mentioned, breathing is a strong component. And in fact, I think what really sets apart yoga from other physical practices, just talking about the physical practice, is that you do the yoga in the yoga practice. It's a lot of emphasis is put on synchronizing the breathing with the movement.
Exactly. So
that's synchronization of breathing with movement that really sets it apart from other practices, other physical practices, right? So and so that's one of the aspects of the breathing. The other one is about how by a specific breathing exercises that in yoga are called pranayama, you can actually create certain states of energy and change and shift the energy throughout your body. So it's actually also mentioned in the probably what can be called the Bible of yoga. It's the Patanjali Yoga Sutras. It's a very ancient book written, probably more than, nobody really knows for sure when it was written, but it's believed to be more older than 2000 years. So in that book, it also highlights the importance of the breathing, the control, basically pranayama, which is the Sanskrit word. It means prana is Sanskrit for energy, and yama is can be translated as a expansion or expanding or control. So it's basically control of the energy through your body. So these exercises that are part of the physical yoga practice are taught in every yoga school. If you are interested, you attend a yoga teaching training, and even in the yoga classes, you not all the time, but some of the yoga classes you attend, the teacher will cue you to do some basic breathing exercises, and they are a very important component of yoga for sure, because it's basically the only, I mean, our heartbeats, but we don't really control how our heartbeats.
Yes.
But on the other side, with breathing, this is probably the only autonomous nervous system function that we can actually control. Because, of course, we can just breathe without noticing it, without even paying attention to it, or we can control the way we breathe. So it's basically, it has kind of this duality where either it can work on itself in an autonomous way, or we can actually control it. So it's got this beautiful double side to it, which is either autonomous or controllable, and that's and yoga focuses a lot on that
a lot of the breathing and yeah. So what I'm thinking of yoga, as you said, and yeah, I was the one introduced to you that Ashtanga, and when I was my experience back 2000 and probably yeah 9 or 8, and we just doing yoga every single day 6:30 in the morning for quite a while, and what I experienced in my body was absolutely unbelievable. Like the level of energy, it was super, super high. And also I felt that connection in my whole spine. It was like a electricity, which is people as well, they call Kundalini. We're going to talk about it as well. So it is quite interesting to see all that, those sort of connection. And, you know, like what we're thinking in here is, what is yoga about? For some people, they don't understand what it is. A lot of people that are against yoga as well, for whatever reason it is. So it is something I was reading about, is like the aim of yoga is self-realization and overcome all kind of suffering, leading to the state of liberation, which is the moksha of freedom. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm thinking of, my own practice, personal opinion, is always a suffer there. You always suffer. And you're looking at it, go, what do I do this to myself? But after doing it, you feel so much better, and you always can have little goals and go a little bit more further. And in your practice as a yoga teacher, you probably encourage your student to do exactly the same when you've done it classes. Is this what you've done it before?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's such a broad subject, the yoga. So when we talk about the yoga class in as it is taught in the West, you know, you don't really have time to delve into the philosophy and all the aspects of deep aspects behind yoga. So usually when I'm teaching yoga and on the classes I attend, basically there's very little room and space for the philosophical components of yoga. There's always cues and different teachers will be more inclined to cover or to give more advice and more things from their personal experience with the yoga philosophy, but it's a strong focus given to the physical component of yoga. And if you actually read the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, which as I said is kind of the Bible of yoga of the yoga philosophy. It's only, I believe, it's kind of the sutra. Sutra is a Sanskrit word that can be translated more or less into English as aphorism or axiom. So like a short sentence that gives a very strong meaning in a very brief way. So out of the 200, I believe around 200 aphorisms, 200 verses, maybe, only one mentions the physical practice, the asanas, which is the name that the postures have in
yoga. So what I'm thinking
only one of 200. So imagine how little importance this Patanjali is supposed to be the this ancient writer sage
of the
wise person who wrote this compendium of the knowledge of yoga back in the day. I'm talking about more than 2,000 years ago. And imagine how little importance he was giving to the physical part of yoga.
I understand.
He only dedicated one verse out of 200 to the actual description of the yoga asana. So it's interesting. Yeah.
We're going to have to go to the Spanish part. So how about if you introduce this amazing, beautiful song, which is also music, definitely have to do a lot with our soul and with our spirit, as much yoga does. So how about you introduce that amazing song to all of us?
Yeah. So, I mean, when you were asking me to pick a song, this is a song I heard for the first time when I did my first Kundalini yoga. So I believe it's a song that is played at most Kundalini yoga classes at the end of the class. And it's sung by an American lady who converted to Sikhism. Sikhism is one of the main religions of India, wise behind Hinduism and Islam for sure. It's the number 3, number 4 maybe. It's just a song that is, it's called Longtime Sun. And it's just beautiful musicality, beautiful voice, because she's got an amazing voice. It's Natan Kaur, her name, the name of the Sikh name Kaur. It's a typical, every Sikh woman you will meet, her surname will be Kaur, the same way for guys it's Singh. So Singh, Kaur is typical surnames for Sikh people. And yes, it's beautiful, yes, very, very soothing. And I think everyone who's listening to this podcast will love it.
Okay, let's go then. All right. Todos ustedes, ya estamos en la parte de español. Esto es Hot Chocolate for the Soul y yo soy Paola Álvarez, por supuesto con Aitor Fernández, nuestro invitado de hoy, quien ha estado conversando con nosotros extensamente acerca de yoga. Ese es el tema de hoy y ya estuvimos hablando acerca de más o menos las ideas generales de lo que el yoga y la terminología yoga significa en esta sociedad. Pero también queremos conocer un poco más acerca de los tipos de yoga. Habló algo Aitor en el bloque pasado acerca de Ashtanga. Así que, ¿qué tal si partimos por Ashtanga, Aitor?
Muy bien. Hola, Paola, de nuevo. La verdad es que hay tantos estilos de yoga como puede haber estilos de prácticas físicas. Hay muchos estilos que se han puesto de moda en los últimos años, pero si hablamos de los clásicos, podríamos decir que está en en la Ashtanga. Estaría también el Iyengar, que es otro muy popular.
Claro.
Luego, sí, podríamos hablar luego. Luego muchas veces aparece el Hatha, que el Hatha realmente es
La
el yoga
base.
clásico, el yoga de. Sí, es realmente todos estos estilos de yoga que han ido surgiendo después son todos básicamente parten del Hatha, del yoga clásico, y le dan un cierto un giro de tuerca, por decirlo de alguna manera, ¿no? Lo convierten en un poco un yoga más dinámico, como es el Ashtanga, un yoga más enfocado a las posturas, que es el Iyengar. Es muy, muy, como digo, es un yoga para ingenieros, que les gusta mucho la atención al
Al
detalle. Es todo como
detalle.
muy, 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 como muy, muy puntilloso en la postura. Es buscar el alineamiento perfecto de la postura. Entonces, es un yoga que requiere mucha, mucha, mucho estudio realmente. Y es la certificación de Iyengar es complicada, más complicada que otros estilos. La de Ashtanga también requiere mucha práctica. Tienes que estar acudiendo al centro de Ashtanga en Mysore, en la India, unos 2, 3 años para que te certifiquen. Luego hay otros estilos, por ejemplo, más el Hatha tradicional o el Vinyasa, que es el que está muy de moda, que es el yoga dinámico más
O el
popular ahora mismo,
flow.
que se pueden conseguir. Sí, el flow yoga o yoga Vinyasa, yoga dinámico, son nombres. Y al final todos estos yogas, básicamente está el yoga clásico, el Hatha, el Iyengar, y luego están el resto de yoga dinámicos, que son básicamente todos los demás. Estaría
Perfecto.
el Vinyasa, estaría el Ashtanga, estaría en el Rocket Yoga, que es un yoga, estaría en el Power Yoga. Hay muchas denominaciones del yoga que son básicamente variaciones, como te digo, vueltas de tuerca, giros, con diferentes pequeños énfasis en detalles. Luego, por supuesto, también está otro que se hizo muy famoso hace unos años y que luego ha caído ha caído a nivel de reputación porque su fundador, Bikram fue, está
Bikram,
juzgado y está condenado en Estados Unidos por varios delitos,
¿sí? ¿Por
entre otros
qué?
abuso de mujeres. Desde corrupción por temas financieros hasta abuso de personal y de mujeres en sus cursos de formación. Entonces,
Mira.
el Bikram Yoga ya no se llama Bikram Yoga, lo llaman todos hot yoga, yoga caliente, ¿no? Porque es un yoga que se hace en habitaciones
Perfecto.
calentadas entre 38 y 40 grados, un poquito para replicar esa sensación de calor que hace en la India, que es el país de origen del yoga, ¿no? Entonces,
Pero
esa
también
era la idea de Bikram.
ese yoga que tú estás, bueno, que el hot yoga o que era el ex Bikram yoga, es un yoga que tiene base en el hatha yoga, ¿verdad?
Sí, todo el yoga actual es todo. Básicamente son variaciones del Hatha Yoga, del yoga clásico de postura, sí. Son todas
Pero cuando
variaciones.
uno va a un centro, por ejemplo, si yo voy a un centro
Sí.
cualquiera, los yogas más clásicos que se van a ofrecer ahí va a ser el hatha. Va a ser ahora, perdón, ahora está muy de moda, que también lo menciono, que se ve mucho el yin-yang, que es me imagino, es un yoga mucho más tranquilo, mucho más
Vale.
sereno, más
Ya.
calmo. Ya nos va a explicar un poquito de eso, pero cuando uno va a un centro de yoga, generalmente lo que uno ve es el hatha, el iyengar, ashtanga, vinyasa. ¿Cierto? Y serían un poco los que se ven. El hot yoga tiene que ser en un lugar evidentemente especial y preparado. Muchos lugares no lo tienen, no lo ofrecen. Tiene que ser, como digo yo, un lugar que esté más acondicionado para ello. Mi personal opinión acerca, y Kundalini, que es el otro que también se ofrece bastante, pero es un yoga
Correcto.
también mucho más tranquilo. Me parece a mí que bueno, el ex Bikram Yoga, Hot Yoga, es un yoga que te permite tener una flexibilidad mayor, te permite extender tu radio de flexibilidad, lo que a uno lo hace sentir maravilloso. Evidentemente, también el tema este de sudar te hace mantener tus toxinas te hace sacar las toxinas del cuerpo, te hace mantener, cierto, tu cuerpo mucho más limpio en ese sentido, lo que uno se siente bien. Sí, hay muchos beneficios también en términos de respiración. Cuesta un poco más porque evidentemente tienes que estar como en un lugar en donde estás sofocado de alguna forma, ¿no? Por llamarlo así. Me gustaría que nos contaras un poquito porque, a ver, un poco describiendo lo que tú dijiste, Ashtanga es algo mucho más fuerte, más físico, muy parecido a lo que va a ser el flow, pero el flow tiene que ver con una dinámica mucho más, es un ritmo mayor, por ende tú vas en una dinámica que se va como fluyendo de una forma más rápida, como lo dice el nombre, ¿no? Y ya luego tenemos el Kundalini, que es mucho más centrado en la respiración, mucho más centrado en esta Kundalini que decía yo que es como esta serpiente que se despierta en tu columna o en tu espina. Y también ya bueno, tenemos la Iyengar, como bien dijiste, es mucho más postural. Es un yoga que se centra mucho en los detalles, se centra mucho en las posturas. Entonces ahí ya tenemos esos tipos de yoga. Hablemos del Yin Yang ahora, que es como el que está más en boga.
Vale. Solo que hacer una corrección, no es yin yang, es yin yoga, porque el yin y el yang es básicamente la oposición de los yin y el yang en la filosofía taoísta asiática. el yin es el lado femenino, no, el yang es el lado masculino, el yin es el lado parsimonioso, el lado más calmado. Entonces, el yin yoga, que también se llama, a veces se llama yoga restaurativo, restorative yoga, es, digamos, el yoga con un foco sobre todo en posturas profundas y mantenidas durante 5 minutos.
Perfecto.
Más o menos. Suele ser dentro de los 5 minutos.
¿El yin yoga sería como Iyengar entonces o no?
No, porque la Iyengar no se mantiene tanto tiempo. El yin yoga es un yoga que la diferencia fundamental con el resto de estilos de yoga, que se llamarían yoga yang, frente al yoga yin, que es el yin yoga y el yoga yang, que son el resto de yogas. El yoga yin o yin yoga en inglés es básicamente el yoga con un énfasis en reducir las pulsaciones. El ritmo cardíaco en el paciente no va a subir porque son posturas muy, muy... son exigentes porque son de estiramientos muy exigentes, pero no requieren un esfuerzo físico a nivel de requerimientos de energía muy alto. Entonces, son posturas que mantienes hasta 5 minutos y uno de los beneficios que se comentan es que actúa sobre el sistema linfático y sobre la fascia de los músculos, la cobertura blanca que rodea los músculos, el tejido muscular, ¿no? Es un poquito son los beneficios que habla, de los que se habla en el yin yoga. Y luego, hablando sobre el hot yoga, el yoga...
¿Ya? Dime. Lo que quería saber era cuál era tu favorita, cuál era tu yoga favorita.
Mi favorito ahora mismo es el Ashtanga, pero también me gusta bastante el hot yoga, por el, como comentabas, es un desafío a nivel personal, porque la sudoración y la exigencia de las posturas hace que tu ritmo cardíaco suba mucho. Entonces es una especie de pelea constante con tu cuerpo, intentar entenderlo y ser capaz de calmarlo para poder sacar el máximo provecho de posturas porque son intensas y en una temperatura de 38 o 40 grados, que son las que requieren esos radiadores enormes, que hace que muchos estudios no se puedan permitir porque es la factura de la electricidad de un estudio de yoga de hot yoga es muy alta. Eso es lo que me cuenta la gente que los tiene. Es caro, porque hay que mantener una habitación grande a una temperatura de 38 grados mínimo.
Por supuesto. Y me parece a mí que ya estamos terminando, así es, terminando el programa de yoga. Me ha parecido fascinante conversar contigo. Estoy segura que tenemos mucho más, por el tema da para mucho, como lo hablamos antes. Pero de todas formas es bueno también conocer un poco más desde la parte interna, desde la parte filosófica que no toda la gente conoce. Así que te agradezco, de verdad agradezco mucho tu tiempo, agradezco que hayas podido compartir con nosotros tu experiencia. Faltó mucho porque estuviste en la India, aprendiste allá, también has estado viajando y por ahí has tenido otra experiencia. Pero lo vamos a dejar de todas maneras, vamos a hacer un yoga 2, un yoga número 2, parte 2, porque yo creo que se la merece. Se merece el programa un yoga parte 2. Así que nada, invitadísimo como siempre, gracias por estar en Hot Chocolate for the Soul y te invito a despedirte de todo el mundo también que te está escuchando.
Un placer, Paola, como siempre, y encantado. Si quieres en otro momento, tenemos una charla más sobre la parte espiritual, filosófica del yoga, que es también sumamente interesante. Así que un saludo para todos tus oyentes y nos oímos, nos vemos muy pronto.
Muy bien, cuídate, que estés muy bien. Y un saludo para todos ustedes. Nos vamos a ver, we're going to see each other, or we're going to hear each other in Hot Chocolate for the Soul. See you next time.
This show was first broadcast on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM, thanks to New Zealand On Air.